We're doing Yeshayahu. We're up to it's called the 40th chapter, the 10th Pasuk. The Navi Yeshayahu, we have many new faces here. The Navi Yeshayahu was the son of the Navi, the prophet Amoz, who was the son of the Judean king. He was the brother of the Judean king Amatziah. So Yeshayahu is prophesizing to his relatives, the kings of Judea, who are in fact his own cousins. And the Navi is talking about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. We had discussed in the previous Pasuk, go up the mountain Mevaseret Zion and give the good tidings to Zion. Harimi v'koach kolech Mevaseret Yerushalayim. Raise your voice as you give good tidings to Jerusalem. Raise your voice, do not fear. Tell the cities your God has come, you are going to be rebuilt. And we continue Pasuk Yud. Hine Adonai Elohim b'chazak yavo. Hashem is coming with might. He won't need anyone else's help. And that's what Rav Kook Zatzal wrote about Tekah b'shofar gadol. When we speak about redemption, we ask, blow, give the blast in a huge shofar. Why do you need a big shofar? Rabban Shalom needs big, small. What's that talking about? Rav Kook says there are different ways that the redemption can play itself out. And we are always praying it should play itself out with largesse. It should be a big redemption, a big shofar. Even in the ascent from the Babylonian exile, we had two options. It could have come in a small way, which is how it did come, or it was supposed to come in a large way. There were supposed to be miracles, that the splitting of the Jordan all over again. Yet the Jewish people were not so excited about making Aliyah, so it didn't play itself out in the greatness it should have. Chazal say Ezra was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet he did not have those great miracles. Chazal say because the people weren't with him, he wasn't ascending with the masses he should have ascended with. Yes.
With the double name of God, you entered Hashem Elokim.
Right.
You have several ways to read it.
Yes, we denote how we should read it by the nekudot. But yes, it's tradition. It's, yes, and on a different occasion we can discuss where you can find it. Hine secharo ito. Hashem is coming with the wages; he will pay back. Ufulato lefanav. Hashem will pay back every person for how they behaved. Just as a shepherd shepherds his sheep. There's an Arab saying that says, marry off your daughter to a shepherd. Because in order to be a shepherd, you have to have patience, you have to have kindness. You can't rush the sheep. You have to factor in when they need to eat, when they need to drink. There are certain qualities you have to develop in order to be a good shepherd. I've never been a shepherd. I learned this from my Yemenite friends. The Torah says, just as a shepherd shepherds his sheep, and he gathers them, and he hugs them, with his arm, he gathers the young sheep, and sometimes he carries them on himself. And when he's guiding the small sheep, he has to guide them patiently. Alot is the small ones. Like in when we speak about a small baby, we call him an olel. So a small sheep is alot. The small sheep he guides. Mimadad b'sha'olo mayim. Who like Hashem knows how to measure all the water in the world? Hashem knows how much water is in the Atlantic, how much water is in each cloud. Who? Their bonus shalom. Bishamayim bazeret tiken, and Hashem fashioned the heavens with his pinky. Zeret is the pinky. Vechol bashalish afar haaretz, and Hashem shalish is a large measurement, and so Hashem knows the amount of earth on all of planet earth as though he measured it in a shalish. He says, who knows the volume of water in the world? Who knows the weight of all the dust, all the earth in the world? Mimadad b'sha'olo mayim. Who measured? Sha'olo is his fist. In his fist, all the water of the world. v'shamayim bazeret tiken, and he measured or he fashioned the heavens with his pinky, and v'chol bashalish afar haaretz, and he encompassed all the earth of planet Earth in a shalish, in this huge vessel to measure. V'shakal b'pelesarim, and who knows the weight? Who has measured and weighed all the mountains? Ugvaot b'mozenayim, and measured the weight of all the different hilltops in his scale. So this is a way of saying, who masters earth? Who knows how much water, how much earth, how much mountains, how much mitikenet ruach? Who prepared the wind? All physical things, even the energy, the wind. Who's the master of all that? Adonai ve'ishatzato yodienu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He's the one who has done all of that. And therefore, if Hashem has this plan that Jerusalem will be rebuilt, so that's his plan, then that's how it will come to realization. So Hashem says, I'm telling you what my plan is. Yodienu. Hashem says, I'm telling you, you're my confidant, the Jewish people. This is my long-term plan. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. And throughout the generations, you might look at it and say, come on, Ravon Shalom, how's that ever going to happen? The Ravon Shalom says, no. I'm the one. I measure the wind. I measure the mountains. I know everything on this planet. And I'm telling you that as bad as it's going to seem throughout your exile, my plan is Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Remember, Yeshaya was written before the destruction of the first temple. And he's talking about what's going to be after the destruction of the second temple. Et mi no'atz vayivinehu. With who has Hashem taken counsel? And let him understand what he's thinking. Vayilamedehu be'orach mishpat. Who has Hashem taught the direction of thought that Hashem is going? Vayilamedehu da'at v'derech tevunot yodienu. Who does Hashem let know what he's thinking? He's letting us know through his prophets. You're seeing all the nations and it seems unlikely. We're going to last. We're going to have Jerusalem again. How were we mocked only 150 years ago? They used to mock us when we'd pray, V'techezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. You know, we say in Kedusha, in Shul, on Musaf, what do we say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You guys notice that in the Kedusha of Musaf? So it doesn't really work. If you pay attention to what you're saying, you say like this. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then you say, Hu Elokeinu Hu Avinu Hu Malkeinu Hu Moshiyenu. Hashem, He is our God, He is our King, He is our Savior. V'hu Yashmeinu B'rachamav Shenit L'Einei Kol Chai. And He will ultimately let us know before all of humanity, Liot lachem ne'elokim, I've always been there, I'm here for you as a God. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I'm Hashem your God. Why do we conclude with Ani Hashem Elokechem? What does that have to do with anything? I am Hashem your God. You're talking about Hashem in the third person, and then suddenly you say, I am Hashem your God. What's going on? Yeah? So what's going on is that we had periods in Jewish history where they wouldn't allow us to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We could not declare monotheism in Shul. We had periods in Jewish history where our wonderful hosts in different countries would appoint guards in the Shul to ensure that the Shul does not say Shema. And they would have to start their prayer with Shmona Esrei. And they would pray and then read the Torah and then come to Musaf. And it was only as Musaf was winding down, after everyone finished their silent Musaf, when what was left was just the Chazarat HaShatz, the repetition of Shmona Esrei, that they'd leave us alone, the guards would leave. It's they're finished, they're wrapping up. And so what the sages did was they incorporated all of Shema Yisrael into the Kedusha of Musaf. And in those junctures in Jewish history, you'd stand in Kedusha, and by now the guards were gone. They knew Shul was winding down. In 3 minutes, you're leaving. And the whole public in their Kedusha would say, Shema Yisrael, and the whole of Shema, until the last words of Shema, which are, Ani Hashem Elokechem, right? And so, in order to retain that potential that we would remember, that if the decree comes back, we can again say all of Shema in the Kedusha of Musaf. So the sages instituted that in the Kedusha of Musaf, we mention once again, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the concluding verse, Ani Hashem Elokechem, the last three words of the Shema, right? Those are the last three words of Shema. Ani Hashem Elokechem of Parshat Tzitzit in our parsha. So the Jewish people can't even say Shema. In our history, we couldn't even declare monotheism. And yet we're saying every Pesach, L'shana ba b'Yerushalayim ha'bnuya. Right? We're making that declaration. How? Centuries, and then a millennium passes, and then almost another millennium passes. And we're not back yet. Comes the Navi and tells us, you're going to look around, and you're going to wonder, am I really supposed to hold on to that hope? Am I ever coming back to Jerusalem? Rabbi Beryl Wine says the reason Shabtai Tzvi was able to succeed is because the Jews had reached a conclusion. There was an overwhelming, feeling that if Mashiach hasn't come by now, he's not coming, because we, the Jewish people, ain't going to get any better. This is as good as it's going to get. We've done what we could, we've suffered what we've suffered, so if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't see fit to bring him now, then he's never coming. We can understand that. On the contrary, it's hard to understand how Jews held on to their faith all these years with such persecution. But what kept them there? The Navi told them, I'm telling you, it's going to be a long journey. And I'm telling you, you're going to wonder, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you really do this? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know how many grains there are in the sand. I know exactly where the wind is blowing. I know exactly how much water is in the sea. And yes, I've shared with you my global plan. In investing, they say, you should always try to work with the long-term trend. Because on the short term, things can go up, things can go down. But if you're in the long term, so you can wait it out, and then it'll get back to where you are. That's the big question this morning. What's the long term trend, right? Where's the world headed now? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm telling you what the long term trend is. The long term trend is Yerushalayim. We're headed back. It might take time, and it did take time, but we're headed back. And in order to encourage us, you look around, we're such a small number, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't tell your friends this pasuk. Hein goyim kemar midli. You look at the nations around you, they seem overwhelming. Well, they're a drop in the bucket. Now you know where the word drop in the bucket comes from. It's a pasuk. Hein goyim. All the nations of the world are kemar midli. Mar is a drop. They're a drop in the bucket. And they are like the shachak, when you have a scale that keeps shifting back and forth and back and forth, so you have a little bit wears off. You have a little bit of dust on the scale you have to take off before you start weighing. Ribbono Shel Olam says, that dust, that's how I look at all the nations of the world. I created this world with a plan. Whoever wants is invited to join. But the numbers are not what matter. Look around you and don't be discouraged. Heinim kadak itol. Hashem says, all the islands, you're still going to see them pass like dust. Kedak, like dust. And what will happen with Israel, that's what we're about to read in the next pasuk, Mezachem, next week.